Father, have mercy upon us and let your grace abound. Draw us to you tonight. Open our eyes to see you, our ears to hear you, and our hearts to receive what your Spirit says. As we ask for your forgiveness in any area where we have offended you in thought, word, deed, rebellion, works of the flesh, dead works, selfish ambitions, wash us with the blood, purge us with your presence, and fill us with your Spirit as we welcome the Holy Spirit again tonight. Come, Holy Spirit, bring us to the throne room of our Father. Bring healing and deliverance and freedom, revelation, impartation. Sever us from all entanglements and affairs of this world, of emotional attachments. Bring us to a place and a new place with you. Please grant us, Lord, more faith, more sight, and more of you and less of us. Oh, Jesus. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the angels that are in here. We thank you, Lord, as you search the hearts of your people. Break every hardened heart, Lord. Remove every deaf and dumb spirit that blinds and deafens. I rebuke those spirits in the name of Jesus. Every religious spirit, every spirit of pride and arrogance and haughtiness, I rebuke you and command you to loose the people of God. Every sickness, disease, and infirmity, I rebuke you and command you to loose the people of God and go to the pit. You have no place here, and I send the word of the Lord to each and every one that by his stripes you be made whole, healed, delivered, and freed from the entanglements and affairs of this world and the spirits of bondage in Jesus' name. Grab your swords and go to Hosea 4. We've been talking about the last day series and what's going on. And one of the things that we know that there's a lot of final exposure where the Spirit of God is exposing those things that are defiling to him. And the purpose of exposure, remember, is so that people get saved and rescued and cooperate with God. You know, the Bible says you'll know them by the fruits. What's the fruits? It's the rebellion, anger, hatred, addiction, whatever it is, fornication, pornography, whatever it might be in an individual's life, because those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, right? And the Spirit of God, the Father, is searching those who worship him in truth and spirit. And we are at a critical time right now. Critical. You're seeing more and more things being exposed all over the world. But he does a personal exposure. Then he does what we call a corporate and national exposure, then a national and global exposure. And Hosea 4:6, would you read it with me? My people are what? Destroyed for lack of knowledge. That means truth. And because you have rejected knowledge or truth, I will also reject you from being a priest for me. And because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. So those of you who are parents, it's good to get in position. The more they increase, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame, says the Lord. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity. It shall be like people, like priests. I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. For they shall eat but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes that the final conclusion is this. Nobody will escape standing before God. That is the final conclusion. I don't care what you believe, what you think, or what you follow, whether you're an atheist, whether you're a believer, whether you have all kinds of other stuff, you will still stand before God Almighty. Nobody will escape it. Nobody. And in that day, we will all be judged on what we've done. And he'll either say, enter in, my good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I don't know you. And one of the worst things is to know the will of God and choose not to do it. That is not a believer. So again, one of the things that God is doing is he is exposing. The purpose of exposure is to rescue. To rescue an individual and to expose the enemies. And he does personal, then he does corporate, national, then national and global. The Bible says that we'll know them by their what? Fruits. One of the important things of knowing truth is God's timing and God's season. God's timing and God's season. Many people don't know God's timing or season. They get married off God's timing, and they have disasters. See, if it's not God's time, it's not God's will. Go to Revelation chapter 12. One of the things that the enemy does, you know, it is so important as a believer to make what is unseen to become what? Seen. Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. So if you're an individual that is not making what is unseen to become seen, you'll be easily deceived. Because what you see is only temporary. What is unseen is what's affecting you. So what the powers of darkness do, demons, and there are demons, they are disembodied spirits looking for a body, principalities, wickedness in heavenly places. These spirits want to impress a human, to possess a human, and express their presence. These demons and powers of darkness want to impress a human, possess a human, and express their character. And what you do not have control of, somebody else does. Well, I can't quit smoking. Well, you have a demon. I can't stop watching pornography. You have a demon. I can't quit cussing. You have a demon. Why? Because somebody, some power of darkness is possessing that part in you that you don't have control of. I keep drinking and I can't stop. Why? Because you have a devil. Well, I don't believe in it. Because you have another one. But I'm afraid it's another one. Listen, when Jesus came off the boat and that man approached him, and this dude was up to all messed up and naked, and he said, what's your name? The thing stopped. And the demons are screaming out at him. Not now, it's not my time, they kept saying. She said, what's your name? And the demon said, Legion, because there are many. That meant 2,000. That person had 2,000 demons in him. Because we don't fight flesh and blood. And that's one of the things that many individuals have no idea. They still don't believe that there's a devil. Look in the mirror. Look in your eyes. You'll know if you got one or not. Tell it to come out then, in the name of Jesus. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 1. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. And the woman fled in the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years. And he's talking about tribulation that's coming. But I want you to understand that there's something very powerful, because what had happened was Satan, remember, Satan was known as Lucifer, who was the praise and worship leader of the universe, right? And he was in charge of a third of the angels. That's why the Bible says his tail drew a third of the angels, because he was in charge of them. So if he was a praise and worship leader of the universe, guess how he affects many people? Music. People have no idea that they're worshiping Satan and don't even know it. Why? Because Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception. And his power is fear. Remember, the Bible speaks of three-dimensional, past, present, and future. We know that this is going to occur in a deeper arena, but in this is when the Lord removes Satan from his presence and casts him into the earth and its atmosphere. Go to Luke 10. Now, the Bible also tells us in the book of Daniel where he prophesied, he said that knowledge would increase. Knowledge would increase in the latter days. I mean, look at the technology and how it's increased in just the last 10 years. So if knowledge is increasing, we also know that other things are going to increase. One of the things that's increasing is exposure, isn't it? Exposure. In Luke 10 and verse 17, then the 70 disciples returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from what? Heaven. That means in that place where he was in God's presence. Jesus said, I saw him fall. In other words, God removed him from his presence. And he sentenced him to the earth and its atmosphere. He said, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. Now, what are they associated with? Satan's kingdom. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So Jesus said, I saw him fall. In other words, he was sharing what we just quoted. I saw Satan get removed from the presence of God. Go to Isaiah 14. I have a lot to cover tonight, so I may be moving a little, just a wee bit quick. But we are going to have a series. It's called the Last Day Series. And there'll be two DVDs in there also. There'll be a package. And it'll explain all kinds of powerful things that are being exposed right now. Isaiah 14:9. Hell from beneath is excited about you to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. They shall speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, which means hell. And the sound of your stringed instruments, the maggot is spread under you. The worms cover you. Who had instruments? Lucifer. He had pipes, didn't he? And the breath of God breathed through him. And he was a praise and worship leader of the universe. But God removed him. Now go over to verse 12 and read it with me. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into the heaven. Why would he say, I would ascend into the heaven? Where was he? Here. Why? Because this is where he got sentenced to, didn't he? I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the earth. I'm going to explain one thing. He was saying this, and it wasn't because he was sentenced here, so I want to adjust this. He was saying this because the earth was known as the mountain of God in the universe. And he was in charge. And he was on the earth, and the earth was inhabited by angels known as sons of God. And from the earth, praise and worship went through the whole universe, and Lucifer was the praise and worship leader. So that's why he said, I will ascend above. Because he was on the earth at the time. Why? Because pride is what removed him from the presence of God. Now you got to remember, the glory of God and the presence of God was through the whole universe. And Lucifer had access to the throne of God, didn't he? There was nothing separating them until God removed him from that realm. In verse 14, he said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And here's the response of the Lord. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, which is hell, the lowest depths of the pit. In other words, I'm going to sentence you to the earth. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? Wow. So Lucifer was sent to the earth. His throne is in the depths of the earth. His purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. So he hates you, he hates me, and he hates the earth. He wants to not only kill all of the inhabitants, but destroy the earth. Now, when the Lord created Adam and Eve, and he put Adam and Eve in charge, Adam actually had the keys. He had authority over Satan. And then Satan deceived Eve, and Eve deceived Adam, so the authority was taken from them and given back to Satan. That's why Satan is now the ruler of this earth. Go to Luke 4. So the purpose of this is really to express and bring understanding about why we do what we do. You know how many people think that their thoughts are their own? It's amazing. Would God tell you to steal? Well, then who did? But see, people think it's themselves. The reason why they think it's themselves, because they haven't heard another voice. See, it's the same speaker within us. So you must discern what you're hearing. You must judge the fruit of what you just heard. And you'll know whether it's of God or it's of somebody else. In Luke chapter 4, is everybody there? In verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Now he knew that the son, he heard that the Son of God had come in. He tried to kill him already before when he was born, right? And now Jesus went into the wilderness to challenge Satan and defeat him over the temptations. But Jesus answered him and said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. In other words, he was separating the natural from the spiritual. Then the devil, taking him on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give to you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whoever I wish. In other words, it was true. He was given all the authority, wasn't he? And he said to Jesus, if you'll worship me, I'll share some with you. Why? Because he was now ruler of the earth. So everybody got this. This is important because so many people don't get this. I've mentioned that to people that Satan rules the earth. They're like, what? Obviously, they're under his rule, whoever I was talking with. Therefore, if you worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and in him only you shall serve. And then he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you and keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Here, Satan was using the scripture, wasn't he? He knows the Bible more than we do. He just don't understand it all. And Jesus answered and said to him, it's been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, who is he speaking about? Himself. He's saying, "You shall." What are you tempting me for, right? And you should be worshiping me. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until a what? Opportune time. So if he tried to tempt Jesus, would he try to tempt you? See, the moment you agree with what he says, he has access into you. One of those demons come in. And you don't even know it. Next thing you know, you're struggling. Man, why do I feel this way? Why are these? What's going on here? It's because there's a devil there. Somehow, if he can get you to touch and agree with those thoughts, he'll access you. Turn to John 10 in verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the what? Sheep. And all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. In other words, the sheep, God's children, know the difference between the voice of the devil and the voice of God. That's what the beauty of when you get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. I am the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come to except to what? Steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But the hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. In other words, the only thing that's motivating them is money. Now, I want you to understand, how did the devil tempt Jesus with what? Giving him things. See, one of the areas, that's why the Bible says that the love of money is the root to all evil, because people will do anything for money. They get on TV and eat worms for money, make idiots of themselves. They'll do anything for money. Why? Because they believe that money will bring them freedom and power, but it brings nothing but bondage. Now, money done out of the heart of Christ, out of an individual, in a righteous way, will help feed, clothe, and shelter, won't it? It will help free people, will bring truth to others. There's nothing wrong with having money. The only thing is whether money runs your life or you run the life of money. See, anything that can bring you into bondage is not of God. So in this, we see that this person was being hired. So we see that he was leaving those who he was in charge with because of money. I'll never forget that I was doing some work at some place and come to find out it was some pastor that was there. And And when I went in there to talk with him and so forth, because we were going to do an outreach and so forth, and he picked up the phone, and he was on the phone. And he was talking on the phone. He was talking to a friend of his. And he said, yeah, I've put applications in for other pastoral positions. He said, whoever offers me the most money is where I'll go. I left. You ain't right, bro. Far be it that money should tell you where to go. I don't submit to money. I submit to the King. Does everybody see this? And it's important. So what's one of the ways that the devil tries to control people? Money. Why do you think one of his main throne rooms where he's at is in the Middle East? Where? Oil. Why? See, he believes that if you control the money, you can control the world. So the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy, right? In other words, on a personal level, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The first thing he wants to do is steal your foundation. He wants to kill your authority, and he wants to destroy your future. We're seeing many things be exposed now, aren't we? Corporations, individuals stealing, all kinds of things that's going on. Even churches that are misusing the money for selfish gain. Certain individuals and TV things that are misusing the money for selfish gains. Go to Luke 16 and verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Wow. And now remember, Jesus spoke this because he knew that money, the devil would use money and riches and fame and everything else to try to mislead people. In other words, they will put their trust in money instead of their trust in God. Why? Because they believe in that money's going to buy them freedom, happiness, and some of them life. But the love of money is the root to every single evil. And that's how the devil controls people, through money. Go to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9. I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in the book and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Samaria, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down at the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice was as sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Write the things which you have seen and the things which are and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Now, I want to share with you something important because, remember, exposure. God exposes. Because his desire is for an individual to be saved so that they're no longer serving Satan anymore or his kingdom. The other thing is exposure of warning what is to come, and also in the area where there could be danger. And one thing we want to be able to do is please God. As every believer, we should have a heart that pleases God, or you're really not a believer. If your heart does not want to please God, you're lost. So in this, he's sending out letters to these seven churches. And in these letters, and I want to share with you that these churches are like corporations. Even though that they're going the letters to churches, but these are specific areas that he's using. But I want to utilize this as like a corporation in the body of Christ. In this, he sends out a letter and he warns them. He says to one church, you lost your first love. You're loveless. And another one, he says, you guys are compromising. What are these? All warnings, aren't they? He warns us from compromise. He calls another one. He says, you're corrupt. He says, you're lukewarm. He said, you're a dead church. And he says, there's a church that's persecuted and there's a church that's faithful. But what I'm sharing with you is he's exposed, isn't he? These are areas that he exposes on our life, whether we're associated with these, whether you've lost your first love, whether you're compromising, whether you're touching unclean things and you're corrupt, whether you're lukewarm or you're dead, whether you're persecuted or you're faithful. It is exposure, because these are final exposures and you're seeing it more and more and more. What is your first love? Are you fulfilling your call? Are you doing what you want to do and not what God wants you to do? Who's leading you? The spirit of money? The spirit of carnality? The spirit of fear? Or the spirit of God? These are areas where you must judge your own fruit. What is your priority? You know, a lot of people will say God, but man, they won't miss a day of work. But they'll miss coming to service. They'll miss fellowshipping. But they'll be at work, man. You kidding? They get rewarded by money. So I want you to get the understanding that behind everything, it's our responsibility to make what is unseen to become seen. If you do not make what is unseen to become seen in your life, you will be deceived and you'll go in cycles. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to make you not to see him. He doesn't want you to know that he's impressing to possess so he can express. That's his job. Now think about it. We talked about the powers of darkness in the area where he controls people with money. Money, oil. Money buys things, doesn't it? Money, oil, all of these things, material, everything, manufacturing, anything that can produce money. Now again, I want you to understand, I'm not saying that money is bad. It's the love of money that is bad. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy. There's nothing wrong with being a gazillionaire, as long as you're right with God. Why? Because he knows that you'll be faithful with that money, won't he? So we see that's how things are controlled, aren't they? Globally, he who has the money has the power. That's what they think. But even the individuals that are wealthy in certain areas, they walk in fear and torment that they're going to lose their money. And they'll do anything not to die. Man, they'll spend a gazillion dollars on their health not to die, because they're afraid of death. And that's torment in itself. See, so, you know, when things begin to happen to us, when we trust the Lord, I mean, so what's the worst thing that can happen to me? I can go home. Praise God. You know, what you trying to do, devil? You know, but in this, well, I want to step back so that we get a full understanding of how the demonic arena operates. And there is a large demonic arena. Very large. It is a kingdom that rules this whole earth. And I want to go a little bit deeper. Because we are in the area where we're calling the spirit of Pharaoh. And I want to go to Exodus 1. The spirit of Pharaoh is now ruling. In verse 1, now these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. Each man in his household came with Jacob. These are his sons. And they call him Israel, because Jacob changed his name from Jacob to Israel. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin. Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. All those who were descendants of Jacob were 70 persons, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brothers, and all the generations. Now, Joseph was basically Pharaoh's right-hand man at the time. And God made a way. But that Pharaoh died, and things began to change. And it says in verse 7, but the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king of Egypt who did not know Joseph, and he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land. Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Phithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor. They made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and brick, and in all manner of services in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name one was Shephar, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of the midwife for the Hebrew women, and see them on the birthstools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then you shall allow it to live. Now I want you to understand that here, who was Pharaoh? He was a what? Antichrist. So what was he trying to do? He was afraid now of the Israelites. So he said, listen, there's something we got to do. I've got to bring these people into slavery. So I'm going to start moving away from them, the opportunity for them to multiply, for them to prosper. If I can begin to move the way for them to multiply and prosper, then they're going to be more dependent on me. And in this, he began to do it more and more. Now he began to do what we might call abortion. Do you realize that over 30 or 40,000 children are aborted? Could be national or whatever. Millions. No, I think somebody said more than that. 1 point something million in this country every year. Could be just in this state alone, 30 or 40,000. I don't know. But in this, what they wanted to do is stop the men from multiplying so they could not have any more children, or so that an army wouldn't rise up against them. So they're trying to put them into bondage, weren't they? In verse 17, but the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them and saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. God had a plan. Therefore, God dealt with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. So we see that these things are happening right now. One of the things that the powers of darkness want to do is break us down. Remember, they want to kill all mankind and destroy the earth, don't they? That's their purpose. And it could take them many years. But you got to remember, this has been going on for a long time. Since the fall of Adam. Lucifer has been wanting to, Satan, the serpent, has been wanting to destroy all of mankind and destroy the earth. So in this, one of the things that he begins to do is financially, because he controls people by finances. You know, one of the worst things that ever happened was welfare. People have no idea they became dependent on government. And then when Reagan came in, he finally said, no more of this. If you want to collect money, you need to do something. See, because so many individuals are looking for a handout. Now, I'm not against somebody who's sick and disabled. Praise God, they need help, don't they? But there are people who are sucking the system. I know that in New York, you can become a heroin addict and get $2,000 a month. And they give you the methadone and the apartment and everything. I'm like, what? Of course, when I was out using, I thought about moving in certain areas. But... but, you know, I mean, anybody would, you know, they would, whatever they could get. And it was causing bondage to individuals. People were becoming more and more dependent on the government. And isn't that what's happening right now? Come on, they just spent how many billions of dollars and it didn't do anything. They should have given it back to the American people. You want to spend $2 or $3 trillion? I'll take a part. That's all they need to do is give it back to the American people and extend the mortgages. And you wouldn't have all the problems. But see, they knew. Why? Because who's behind it? You don't think that they saw this coming? Oh, they knew. This has all been planned. See, but there's such a delusion. There's such blindness over individuals that they can't see this. It's phenomenal. But everything is being revealed now more and more and more. Pharaoh now is a spirit. He's bringing slavery by removing the ability to choose or the freedom to choose and become totally dependent on the government. See, one of the things, at that period of time, Pharaoh was bringing them into bondage so they couldn't escape the land. They couldn't escape the land. And he wanted to collect their labor. He wanted to stop reproduction of the children in fear of a revolution. In 1 John chapter 2, in verse 15, do not what? Love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is what? Passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So understand that the devil does not want you to do the will of God, because he who does the will of God abides forever. So one of the things that we want to be is free from the world of lust. How many all know that the love of money is lust? Okay. There is a false belief of freedom. You know, things are changing rapidly, aren't they? Things are being exposed all over, everywhere, happening quickly, trying to remove God from every area, trying to remove the commandments, trying to remove in God we trust. Of course, if you look at the money, and they're all trying to promote one world order. If you look at a dollar bill, you'll see that there's a pyramid there with an all-seeing eye. It's called the sun god. And in Latin, it says one world order. So what the powers of darkness are trying to do is bring everything under submission to them. So what they're going to try to do is start crushing. This is just not happening in the United States. This is happening globally. So there's a lot of things that are changing, isn't there? Things are being exposed rapidly. I want to read you a testimony. And this statement was read over the PA system at a football game at Rowan County High School, Kingston, Tennessee, by the school principal, Jody McLeod. It has always been the custom of Rowan County High School football games to say a prayer and play the national anthem to honor God and the country. Due to a recent ruling by the Supreme Court, I am told that saying a prayer is a violation of federal case law. So, as I understand the law at this time, I can use this public facility to approve of sexual perversion and call it an alternative lifestyle. And if someone is offended, that's okay. I can use it to condone sexual promiscuity by dispensing condoms and calling it safe sex. And if someone is offended, that's okay. I can even use this public facility to present the merits of killing an unborn baby as viable means of birth control. And if someone is offended, no problem. I can designate a school day as Earth Day and involve students in activities to worship religiously and praise the goddess Mother Earth and call it ecology. I can use literature, videos, and presentations in the classroom that depicts people with strong traditional Christian convictions as simple-minded and ignorant and call it enlightenment. However, if anyone uses this facility to honor God and to ask Him to bless this event with safety and good workmanship, then federal case law is violated. Now, this principal is saying this over the PA system to everybody at the football game. This appears to be inconsistent in best and at worst, diabolical. Apparently, we are to be tolerant of everything and anyone except God and his commandments. Nevertheless, as school principal, I frequently ask staff and students to abide by rules with which they do not necessarily agree. For me to do otherwise would be inconsistent at best and at worst, hypocritical. I suffer from the affliction enough unintentionally. I certainly do not need to add any intentional transgression. For this reason, I shall render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and refrain from praying at this time. However, if you feel inspired to honor, praise, and thank God and ask him in the name of Jesus to bless this event, please feel free to do so. As far as I know, that's not against the law yet. One by one, the people in the stands bowed their heads, held their hands with one another, and began to pray. They prayed in the stands, they prayed in the team huddles, they prayed at the concession stand, and they prayed at the announcer's box. The only place they didn't pray was in the Supreme Court of the United States of America, the seat of justice, in the one nation under God. Somehow, Kingston, Tennessee remembered what so many have forgotten. We are given the freedom of religion, not the freedom from religion. Praise God that his remnant remains. Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me before men, then I will be ashamed of you before my Father. Isn't that powerful? What a testimony, huh? Go to Mark 12. Exposures. Last day series of exposures. In verse 13, read it with me. Then I sent him to some of the Pharisees and the Herodians and tried to catch him in his words. When they had come, they said to him, Teacher, we know that you are true and care about no one. For you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, Why do you test me? Bring me a denarius that I may see it. So they brought it to him, and he said to them, Whose image is on the inscription in this? And they said to him, Caesar's. And Jesus answered and said to them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at this. Wow. So we see here that even Jesus was looking at this. They gave him a piece of money, and he looked at it. He said, Give what to Caesar is Caesar's. In other words, because he is the ruler of this area. And give to God what is to God. In other words, tithes and offerings and so forth. Now, you got to remember that Caesar was another type of antichrist. So in this, he's talking about taxes. I want to share with you a couple of things which are very important in the area of how the demonic forces rule. And they rule in a mighty way. In their association, in this kingdom that they're associated with, and those that they have in line to submit to them, and they use people, don't they? There's many people who have sold out their soul to Satan and are serving him, thinking that he's going to win the final battle. They're pretty stupid. Go to Matthew 21, verse 12. It says, Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a what? Den of thieves. Now, I want you to understand something important, because this country was founded on Christianity. And there's a lot of exposure going on. And what did Jesus do? He went in and he exposed. He kicked over the tables. He threw them out. And everything is being exposed right now in a mighty way. In a mighty way. He said, Give to Caesar what's due to Caesar, but give to God what's God. I want you to understand that there are certain things that we were granted a constitution, weren't we? And a Bill of Rights. And there's going to be some things I'm going to share with you tonight And I'm not trying to tell you not to pay taxes, because we should pay taxes. So I want to clarify that, first of all. But I want to tell you something very important. In the packages that we're going to be having next week, there's going to be videos and everything of it. That there was a Reserve Act that was approved in the 1930s, I believe. And during that, it was going to give the Federal Reserve, the Federal Reserve Bank, authority where they would borrow money and so forth, and there would be the Department of Treasury would associate with it and whatever. But reality is, the Federal Reserve Bank, anybody ever heard of the Federal Reserve Bank? The reality of it is not a government connection. In fact, those who are associated with the Federal Reserve Bank have nothing to do with government, and they won't disclose them. Now, I'm going to share something with you that's quite crazy, but it's true. So what happens is our government goes to the Federal Reserve Bank to get money and borrow it because it's global money. It's operated by about 125 of the billion billionaires that people don't even know how much money they have. In fact, they've now found out that trillions of dollars are missing from this country. When you and I were brought into this country and brought into this world and so forth, and in this country, we know that you, at one time, to be able to work and so forth, you had to get a Social Security number, didn't you? Well, that Social Security number was so that you would become a slave to money. There was this woman, and you'll hear about the testimony, this sweet woman, who got called to jury duty. Now, I want you to know something, that a juror has more authority than the judge, but they won't let you know that. A juror has more authority than a judge. The judge is there to regulate, to make sure that the law is in place, but it's the jurors who say what they need to say or choose what's what. And they can even at that time, I don't want to say change the law, but put an option so that things can be changed or something different. And this woman that was called to come as a jury duty came to the courtroom and so forth, and she got selected, and she was on a trial where this individual had been four charges of tax evasion, income tax evasion. So she figured, well, yeah, no problem. You know, I mean, if you avoid paying taxes, you should go to jail. Well, during the trial, his attorney brought up that there is no law that states that we have to pay income tax. And they were all like, no way. So this guy's attorney said, we want the law that says you must pay income tax. We want to show us where it's written. And the prosecuting attorney said, okay, we'll get it. Well, it never came. And so they went in and they presented everything, and the judge said, okay, it's time to go deliberate. And the jurors sent a note out to the judge saying, Your Honor, we still haven't received this information, which is very important to us about seeing this law. So the judge sent in a law that said that you pay taxes and income taxes, but according to the state. But in that form, it says something that all federal law supersedes all state law in this area. In other words, there is no law that you are to pay income tax. It's called capital gain. Capital gain is an area where it's corporate. In other words, we pay state taxes and sales tax and so forth and whatever. But if I was to hire you or anyone in this room to say, cut my lawn, do this for me, do that for me, and give you money, that is not called gain. That is income. And income is not to be taxed. Are you listening? So they sent it in, and the judge said this will be sufficient. Well, here there's jurors in there, and they're deliberating, they're talking about this, and they're realizing, man, we've been paying taxes our whole life, you know, and what is this? So they all agreed that there was no law stating that this man did not break the law. So they went out and they declared in front of the people there, and the man, not guilty. The judge got all upset, got up and walked out. Now, I'm not telling you not to pay your taxes because you're going to have to fight with the government, and people are still going to jail. Anyways, this attorney got 25 people released from jail. But there are people doing 30 years in jail. My people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Let me share with you that you have a Social Security number. All of your income tax money doesn't go to the country. It goes to the Federal Reserve Bank. None of it goes to the country. Are you listening? Did anybody ever see Matrix? Why were they birthing those children? To do what? Get energy off of them. Think about it. And that's still going on, but it's being exposed. It is being exposed all over. Because the Federal Reserve Bank has nothing to do with our federal government. It is a group of individuals that have no idea that they're being used by Satan's kingdom to bring slavery. Why? Because how does they control people? By what? Money. Money. And there's a lot more involved, but I don't have all the time to go through it. All right? Is everybody okay? Now, I'm not telling you to go out and not pay taxes, all right? Believe me, I've known about some of this a while before and so forth, and I've had people say, man, you don't need a 501c3, this, that, whatever. You can just go do whatever you want. It brings you into bondage and so forth. And you know why the IRS is there, right? It's a collection agency for the Federal Reserve Bank. So you talk about people who have been in deception for many years and used just to collect. Your income tax money does not go to the country. It goes to the Federal Reserve. That's why they can print all the money they want. And it's bringing bondage. Because their whole purpose is to bring down everything and have one global financial institution. One global government and one global religion. And who would want to rule the world and control everything? Now, I want you to understand this. Now, this is what you must get. Jesus says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We talked about on a personal basis, he comes to steal your foundation, kill your authority, and destroy your future. On a global level, he comes to steal the truth, kill you, and destroy the earth. Why would he want to destroy the earth? Because God sentenced him here. He believes that if he can destroy the earth, him and his kingdom can be released to the universe. So he has to have everything in control. Everything is about destroying the earth and destroying every inhabitant. He really believes that if he can destroy all of the earth and every inhabitant, that he will be released from prison that he's been sentenced to and go into the universe. And this is a global effect. And he's using money to manipulate individuals. And these big wealthy individuals that are making decisions and so forth and whatever, that people don't even know. You don't know who they are because they won't reveal their names. But there are organizations and so forth. Satan's greatest weapon is deception. And his power is fear. Is everybody okay? So God is exposing. Now go to Revelation 12. We're going to do a couple scriptures, but there's something I want to read to you also. It's very powerful. Everybody's okay? Y'all quiet, man. It's like, whoa. You mean I've been paying all that money? Yep. And it's amazing. You know, we got to try and find a tax deduction to get our income tax back. Think about it. Boy, we've been deceived. People got boxes of receipts. Believe me, I went through it. Boxes of receipts of all kinds of stuff to try and get some money back. That's what I said. Listen, I got a real cure to this whole area of what we call, depression. The state of depression that people are in this country. Give me my money back. You want to change the economy? Give me my money back. I'm going to send them a bill for interest. I wouldn't be behind the pulpit too long. Praise God. Again, I don't want anybody to not pay your taxes. Unless you have enough money and you got a high-paid attorney. And no. In Revelation chapter 12, in verse 7, let's read it. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Now, I want you to understand, this is no longer an area of God's presence. This is now they're getting thrown out of the unseen realm to become seen. All right? This is great tribulation. They will become seen. They will put on flesh. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast in the earth, and his angels were cast with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Where? He's been cast out of the spirit realm into the natural realm, that he be seen. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives or death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the what? Sea. Did you know that there's inhabitants in the sea? He ain't talking about animals. For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a what? Short time. So he's going to try to destroy everything so he can get out of here. Now, when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, in other words, he just realized he got thrown into the natural realm. He persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Now, I want to go back to the area where it says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down. Okay, I'm going to go to another area now. You're going to have to hold tight. About 8 years ago, I met a sweet woman who was a missionary. And she had been in Africa and so forth, and she'd been going 30 years. And she met a gentleman there, and she knew what was going on. And there was this family there that this child was brought up, and his family was witches and warlocks and so forth. And he was brought up as a young age. He was the next one to inherit it. And anyways, I'm going to make a long story short. This woman was there and spoke to this and wrote a book about the whole thing. And it's very, very powerful. And I'm going to read you about three pages. My hope is that the reality of Satan's kingdom and the power and the things of the area, of when he talks about inhabitants in the sea and so forth, are real. In fact, Jacques Cousteau, anybody remember a gentleman named Jacques Cousteau? He was an explorer who did everything in the sea. Well, they were in the Bermuda Triangle one time. And while they were in the Bermuda Triangle, while they were scuba diving and searching some things out, he was hearing a scream. And the closer he got to the Bermuda floor and the ocean there, the more they heard. And he got to this place, he heard these screams, and he found bars like a prison on the bottom of the ocean floor. And when he got to it and he grabbed the bars, he heard such screams that it frightened him so badly that he was going to quit exploring. Are you ready? This is called The Witch Doctor and the Man. And you can download this, I believe, but I have one of the only original copies left. And I'm going to read some of this to you, okay? Finally, the time came that my father took me to the sea. When we came to the edge of the sea, my father simply tapped the sea with his foot. To my amazement, instantly the sea divided into a dry pathway. I could see the fishes on both sides of the rise water, swimming and chunning on each side as we entered the water. He took me by the hand and we began to walk down into the sea. It was very supernatural, yet to me it felt natural. All at once, I found myself in the most ravishing, beautiful city. It was beyond dreams and visions. My father said, "This is where your training will begin, my son." He put his arm around my shoulder. I cannot describe to you the wonder of this dazzling place. Physically, you wouldn't see it, but spiritually, you could see it. However, I have never seen a city on this earth more beautiful than this mysterious underwater metropolitan. There were giant crystal skyscrapers, brilliant laser lights bedazzled the currents of the sea. It was a spellbounding place, beyond words, sort of a spiritual Disney world. The streets were made of gold, but not real gold, but something that appeared like gold. I've never seen a place in the world that could compare to the city. Such a stunning, majestic, ravishing place. It was a phantasm, mystical fairyland. The city is highly organized. In fact, Satan is documenting everything about people on the earth. There is a book of the dead where every evil deed is recorded. These records are carefully kept so that the demons can legally control people. This is why the Antichrist is going to be able to rule. This place is very systemized. For instance, if a person goes to a soothsayer or a witch, the person legally gives him power over his soul. Then the witch or the soothsayer would have to give authority of the person's soul to Satan. Truthfully, even if a person is taken to one of these occultists as a child, only a Christian who knows the superior power of Jesus Christ must break it. Their past must be destroyed. Whenever a demon is invited in, he must be kicked out. This mysterious sea city filled with surprise, it was filled with surprises, but it was also very scientific. For example, whenever I wanted a cup of coffee, I'd press a button and it would appear immediately. Many inventions are devised here. I saw many handsome men and beautiful young girls. There were also young children there. I was introduced to them and was warmly welcomed. Disembodied spirits lurked in the shadows of the rooms. Under helmets with drawn swords, stone-faced demons glared at the scene with their emotionless, cold eyes. The giants of Genesis stood guarding the entrance to the city. The ascended masters, high-level ruling spirits, watched in glee. The smiles on their lips disguised the reality of the evil that was lurking in their hearts. This exotic city is a place where I trained to become a wizard, to practice the deception for Satan and his strategies to help him win the world for his cause. These plans not only included deceiving people in the world, but they also consisted of bewitching the backslidden people in the churches. The Bible says, "My people are perished for lack of knowledge." Understand this, Satan knows that he is defeated, but he also recognizes Christians' lack of knowledge. He knows it. This is the reason why he can take the advantage. He works freely in many churches because only a few are able to discern his works. Hardly anyone ever believes them. When very young, Satan gave me the power to change into 5 different animals: a snake, crocodile, butterfly, lizard, and crab. This ability means that I was considered to be a middle-class wizard. A spirit told me that he had the power to affect transformations with humans. I asked, "What is a transformation with humans?" "I can change humans into animals," the spirit replied. All at once, he changed me into a snake. I got so excited that I wanted to go and play in this body form. I was able to go through walls and these new body forms moved by my mind power. I became more and more intrigued with the powers of the demonic world. In Africa, a middle-class wizard is considered to be very powerful. This means that if another person claims to be a witch or wizard and is not sharp, we will eliminate that person. If you are not sharp-witted, the demons will kill you too. In the kingdom of the darkness, every day witches and wizards try to test each other's power. If one wizard meets another person who claims to have supernatural powers, a wizard will want to see if the person is more forceful. This testing extends to Christians who say they have spiritual power. The way this power works is a witch or wizard will fly and scan the believer before they attempt to work their spells. This is because if the witch or wizard sends a curse upon a person, and if the mission fails, the demons will return and use the work, their powers, upon attacking witch. If the person is living a holy life covered by the blood of Jesus, a wise witch will not attack. There are many children in the underwater city. Some of these children belong to witchcraft families. Some of these children are spiritual beings, while others are hungry street children. These are children who have been abandoned by their parents and roam the streets. They are prime candidates targeted by witches and wizards to turn them into witches and wizards. They are picked up by the queens of culverns and the king wizards. These poor children are fed potions of human blood and drink human blood from their witches' pots. Soon they are captured, enslaved, and brought to the city under the sea to be trained as Satan's agents. Once they come to the underwater city, they go through initiation rites, chanting and bathing in blood, using both animal and human sacrifices. Here, blood is used to appease the demon gods. In exchange, they hope to be blessed by these gods with good fortune. They ask to give away meals to their relatives who gain demonic power over them. These children are hardened in their hearts, and they turn against their mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, aunts to kill them. They are many times directed to work evil powers against their relatives, sometimes even bringing about death to them. It is a chilling story, but true. In Africa, we don't have kitchens in our churches as the churches in America do. The reason is that witches and wizards sometimes try to use evil potions to draw weak people into their arms. We are very protective concerning our Christian children here. There are many gods. I saw the forms of these gods. They have been worshipped since the beginning of time. The pantheon of the gods and the goddesses of Egypt included the forms of beings such as Bast, the cat goddess. She is the goddess of pleasure. The famed Asa is known as to use her powers to heal humankind. Mahat, the goddess of law, truth, and justice, while Seth is considered the god of chaotic forces. Serpent-headed Nebhidaka, presented over funeral rites, and Isba-headed Thron is the god of the moon. Here, homeless street children will be trained to become Satan's agents. They are sent into the churches to destroy them. Many well-meaning Christians cannot discern the evil nature of these children because they simply see them as children. Notwithstanding, the demons in these children that control them are shrewd. These evil spirits are under the control of Satan. They simply use the bodies of the children to rob, kill, and destroy. They are able to cause great confusion and divisions among the church people. Some of the children from the city under the sea are used on beaches to sell seashells to tourists from all over the world. The uninspecting buyer will take these shells home. This is a way that Satan can work powers through the shells as a point of contact that will destroy these people. The demons attach themselves to the shells, and then the demons can work evil in the homes. I know a woman that took a beautiful shell from a child on the beach. His eyes had the sunken, hollow look with dilated, glassy pupils. Then she began to have sexual, tormenting dreams. Suddenly, her yard filled with frogs. The Holy Spirit revealed to her to destroy the shell. She did, and the dreams disappeared, and so did the frogs. These child witches and wizards can also be flying at night like a fiery rockets in the sky. Sometimes they can be seen whizzing through the night like fireworks. Midday is another dangerous time for the wizard, for then no man can cast a shadow. Superstition is that his soul has temporarily disappeared, soul and shadow being considered equal, and invisible spirits are looking for an abode. Children are forbidden to play with their shadows by candlelight, lest they die or they tie them in knots or loose them. These witchcraft-controlled children, each having many snake spirits in their stomachs, and these evil spirits are the mediums of their evil assignments. One young boy, 7 years old, recently appeared in our church. He had painted his shoes with a mixture of human blood from his victims in red dye. He confessed that he was the king of wizards in his covert. He told our church that he had 5 snakes in his stomach, 1 red, 1 white, and 3 black ones. He said that he used these snakes to kill people for his sacrifices. I know that it is hard for a normal mind to believe these things, but I have him confessing this on videotape. Another young girl came in the church. She was 9 years old. She told us that she was the queen of her covert. She told us that she was sent into the church to destroy it. I've previously seen many of these agents from under the water in the churches freely working throughout detection. One of the works are given to the witches and wizards under the waters of the sea is to manage maternity centers in the village. When a woman comes to maternity center for assistance to have a baby, a certain month would be chosen for a baby to be born or to die. But other months, the babies will live. The answer to the problem of being barren, an agent is supposedly able to cure this childless condition by using witchcraft powers or cauldrons. This form of witchcraft is considered the highest level. If a barren woman gives to a native witch doctor, she would be asked to bring certain things such as human bones, ashes that were used to cook food for her. When she becomes pregnant and gives birth, she does not deliver a normal human being. It could appear as a usual baby, but it is a spiritual formed baby. In many women who are barren, the problems could be caused by demons. It is not a rare thing for a woman to be barren on earth, but have children in the sea. Some children who were captured by witches and wizards from the undersea, under the city under the sea, can be rescued and converted. I personally know now many of these human children that have been converted to Christianity. In our church in Africa, we have children who have found the grace of God through salvation. We will tell them about Jesus, but we will not lead them to Christ unless they bring their witches' pots and witchcraft boxes to the church. These pots and boxes are filled with sorcery, magical things such as witches, fetishes, charms, cross, powder, and holy water. We destroy the demonic powers over these pots and articles through prayer in the name of Jesus. In conclusion, it has been our experience that if we try to convert them without getting these articles, they will just return back to witchcraft. The witches will simply draw them back. And it goes on and on and on. And this book is very powerful, and you might be able to look it up, and we'll try and get you information on it. But the woman stayed with me in our home for a few days. And some of the things that she was sharing with us was phenomenal. Phenomenal. And wrote many books. As a 30-year missionary, she's seen many things. And she could pick out the spirits quickly and instantaneously. It's amazing in the things that are being exposed now. Amazing. I want to share two scriptures and we're closing. Revelation 13. Revelation 13 and verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of the name. Here is the wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 666. Now, the number 6 means man. It means everything in the natural. One world religion, one world government, and one world economic. And in this area, one of the things that's going to happen, see, people who will be alive during this period of time or who will be here, they will be exchanging their social security number for another number. The number that they cannot buy anything or sell anything. Again, if you are left behind and you know that the church of God has been taken, people that you knew that were right with God, and you are left behind, take the beheading, take the torture, and take the starvation, but don't take the mark, because you'll be eternally damned. Once you've received the mark, there's no scraping it off, erasing it. You have sold your soul to Satan. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, in the package that will be available next week, I'll have all of the teachings, and I'll have two DVDs in there that will blow your socks off. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Is everybody okay now? I know there was a lot tonight, but I wanted to get as much as I could in. And, you know, we're at a critical time right now. And what's happening is things are being exposed. And it's our responsibility to make what is unseen to become seen. The world needs to know. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This will be Satan in the flesh. He will be here. This is mid-tribulation. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of the lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. In other words, the body of Christ is what's restraining him by the Spirit of the living God. It's the anointing, the presence of God through the believers that is holding back the powers of darkness right now from totally reigning. But once we're taken, all hell's out. The wrath of God will hit. Satan will rule for 3.5 years, and then God will come down and kick his butt. But anyways, and we'll be with him. And verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception, those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this reason, God sent them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistles. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everything and everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. Now, one of the things that is important, you must search your belongings. You must search your house to make sure that there's no accursed items in there, because those will allow demonic activity in. There's been many times that I've had to throw out things or went into a hotel room and so forth and removed things that would allow demonic activity. That's why if you've got tattoos, you repent and break those off. You command the spirit to leave. People who pierce their tongue, where there's only one animal that I know that has a pierced tongue. It's called a serpent. But see, these are the things that the devil sets the trends. Why? He's the ruler of the earth, doesn't he? So what he does is he sets the trends to bring a curse on an individual. So they sow in the flesh, and if they sow in the flesh, they must reap corruption. So it gives the devil access to them to steal, kill, and destroy. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You try and tell somebody in the flesh these things, and they'll say, oh, I don't believe in any of that. Of course not. They're loaded with demons. They're at a Hotel California. And those demons are in them, living rent-free. But they're expressing themselves through it. The Bible tells us not to cut ourselves. Do you ever hear of people cutting themselves? You know why they cut themselves? They're actually worshiping and don't know it. They think they're getting relief by cutting themselves. So they cut themselves and bleed. And the Bible tells us about the prophets of Baal used to cut themselves to worship Satan. But they think they're getting free. And they're loaded with demons. It's amazing in the area where the deception is so great. But for much is given, much is required. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We must stand up, withstand, and penetrate all areas of darkness in any way that we can so that God's people can get rescued. Everyone out there is a brother or sister of some sort, even if they don't know it. It's time. Time is running out, and there's an urgency. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your word. We ask, Lord, that the seed be protected by the blood of the Lamb and it grow and bear fruit for your glory. I ask for your blessing on each and every one that you draw them to you. Open your ears, eyes, and heart to receive what your spirit is. Grant them the anointing, the power, the strength, and the endurance to do your will and to fight for your truth. In Jesus' name.